at you this time, but not every time, okay? Oh. Go ahead. You don't give anybody else a chance.
Yeah, I do.
You do?
Okay.
What you got?
Yeah, read your word in order to get your faith in.
You got to read the word in order to get your faith in. That's right. Anybody else? Wow. All right. Right. Right.
You know, I was thinking about that further.
Right.
And how much I need to just work on constantly the word. It's going to have to be just all the time for me to be able to speak with that same faith that there will be power.
Right. When the Apostle Paul was writing this, he says, how shall they call upon him who they have not believed? How shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except it be they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the mountains of the feet of them that publish the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And then he says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, when he is saying in this context, he's talking about saving faith. What saving faith is salvation or sozo, or is healing body, mind, soul, and spirit. So if we say faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, the more the word we get inside of us, the more faith increases because we know God and his word and we can stand on what God has said. His word says that he's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he needs to repent. God said it and he'll do it. So as we're looking at this, the more word that we get inside of us, the more effect and the more victory we have against the adversary. Anybody else? You had something on the tip of your tongue.
The word of God trains us how to hear the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And you might say that, and piggyback on that, you might say that when you hear the voices, if it doesn't align with the word of God, it's not him. Because he'll never go contrary to his word. Right? So as we're doing this and we're looking at this, you know, Hebrews 4:12 says the word is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and it's a discerner in the thoughts of the intents of the heart. Amen? So everything can be gauged and checked by the word of God. Amen? So as we're looking at this, what we went into the R's. The first week we talked about to be redeemed or to redeem. If you look with me in Romans 3:24 in your Bibles, it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What comes to your mind when you think of to redeem? Unmerited favor? Huh? Buyback? If I redeem something, if I redeem my coupons at the grocery store, what do I get? I get something in return, right? And he says to you and I that we've been justified by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. To redeem just means that I've been purchased. I belong to him. Amen? So when we looked at that, we went to places like, for example, he took us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, from the curse to the blessing. Amen? So as we look at this, there's things that come with my redemption or that because I'm redeemed. So as my my faith is advanced, or I'm advancing my faith, I'm walking in the Word of God, and I'm recognizing and realizing that I've been purchased, all right? I've been redeemed, that I belong to Him. So no matter what the adversary says, or no matter what comes my way, I know who I am and where I belong. How did He redeem us? Huh? On the cross. The blood of Jesus. Amen? So is there anything else that comes to your mind and you think of that context or the redemption? Right.
But if we want to be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ, we have to receive that identity card that He already purchased for us.
Amen.
We're identified as part of the body.
Amen. Good illustration. Anybody else? You know, the reason we're doing this is we want to get this inside of us. You know, we want to get it in our hearts and not just in our minds. The third thing we looked at is to regenerate. We use the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold. Witness something remarkable. Okay, that's where we're going at the beginning of the year. That's where the Lord's taking us. Behold, all things have become new. So we're witnessing something remarkable. If we follow, behold, witnessing something remarkable, all things have become new. What's the Father saying to us in His Word?
We're being made new.
We're being made new. Amen. Somebody had their Bible, and we're talking about being regenerated. Somebody has a Bible, open your Bible to Titus chapter 3, verse number 5. Somebody would like to read that? A volunteer? So by the washing of regeneration, what would that say to you? If you regenerate something, what does that mean? And say if we're something's generated, something's living, or it has life, and all of a sudden now it's regenerated, it's made anew, it's born again. How are we born again? Not by works of righteousness, but which we have done, but by?
According to His mercy, He saved us.
With the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit is the seal inside of us that reminds us that we've been regenerated. When I look at that and I see that old things have passed away, behold, all things become new. When I see that in my heart and life, they're saying, I'm looking for the new. And I'm not staying in the old because the old has mold. if you stay in an old way for a long, long time, it'll get moldy. Amen? And God wants us to be renewed daily. Amen? As we're regenerated, we're renewed by the Holy Spirit. Amen? He renewed us. He restored us. He recreated us. Amen. I think that gives me that reminds me as well, why are we talking about this? Because our faith is advanced when we recognize when I go to do something that I don't do anymore, I have to remind myself I'm not that person anymore. I have to remind myself. The Holy Spirit speaking and warning, but at the same time, I have to remind myself. That's not me any longer. That's the old man. You know, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. In other words, we have to constantly remind ourselves. Because why? I think Carmen said it one way. When the devil reminds you of your past, you just remind him of his future. Amen. And so many times the adversary tries to put your past back in front of you. And how many know that some of the things in our past, we enjoyed them when we were doing them? Or was that just me? I mean, you know, I'm never going to tell you that sin is uncomfortable. The devil can make you feel real comfortable. Amen. Hallelujah. He wants to get you. He's got a plan to take you to hell. And if he showed you just hell right now, you wouldn't be following him. So he makes it real pretty. He makes it real tasty. He makes it to a place that it really feeds our flesh. Amen. In the wrong way. You know, amen. So we've been regenerated. Anybody have any thoughts there?
It's also not just at the initial time of salvation. We think we always go back to that day, but it's always also every day is an opportunity. Every moment is a time for a new refreshing moment.
Right.
So we don't just have to go at a certain point of time and say, as of this day.
Right. Right. Right.
And they don't know where to draw the line, where to.
Right.
You know, and it's always, you know, like now's the day of salvation.
Right. Well, it's just like last month I ran a 4K with my son and downtown. And, you know, I'm starting off new. I'm starting off, it's just like a brand new beginning. You go from the starting point and you go through all this stuff till you get to the finish line, you know? And so. There was trials along the way. There was tests along the way, you know, that kind of wear us down a little bit. So now he's talking about fourthly, we're going to look at to reunite us. To reunite us. 1 John 1:3, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, John the Beloved writes here that your fellowship is with us, that we're in fellowship with one another, and we're in fellowship with the Father and Son. What does fellowship mean? God, we've been reunited to Him. Dusty? Huh? Talk to communication. What else? So we look at this, that we're in fellowship. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. The writer of Hebrews tells us not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together as the manner some has, as we see the day approaching. In other words, we're more effective as a body than an individual. I have some things that you don't have, and you have some things that I don't have, which makes us complete. That's how we're complete in Him. God didn't give everybody everything. Amen? He gave us different gifts and abilities, and we bring these all together. Amen? And it's so important. Why is it so important? Because if you don't fellowship with the body of Christ, you'll fellowship with the world, and you'll find yourself right back in the muck that God brought you out of. You don't plan to do that. It's not the intention. First thing I say is, man, I'm going to go witness to these people. All right, let me take a hit of that bong so I can get a better witness. Amen. In other words, the adversary would say, become the world to reach the world, but that's not what the Lord says. Paul says, as when I was a Jew, I became as a Jew. In other words, I realized where they were at. I recognized where they're at. I didn't become one. He isn't saying he was transformed into one. He was saying I could relate with them because I knew where they were coming from. Amen. I don't know about you, but I can relate with some people because I've been through some things. Amen. And I know that God takes those things that the adversary means for evil, and he turns around and uses them for his glory. Amen. I think that's where I always get it in my heart that nothing wastes it. Now, God doesn't want me to just go out to sin so he can use it. Don't get me wrong. But when I was tempted, when I was drawn away. So, right.
You come to them through that mentality, right, of bondage. You don't have to be in bondage to, right, identify, but by identifying them, always feeling that they're tied to something, that there's something that's always controlling them, there's no hope or nothing.
Right.
You come to that level where they are.
Right.
Bring them up to the light. It's always bringing the light into whatever level someone's at.
That's right. You know, if you look at it in the world, if we're going to compare this to the world, there's all kind of cliques in the world. And in the world, in the world standard, you would hang around people that were like you. You know, I didn't hang around with everyone. I hung around people that I wanted to be around with. I hung around with people that were doing the same thing I was doing. And in the body of Christ, we have a common denominator, Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit, that connects us all together no matter what your background is, no matter where you come from. That's what really makes us a true family. Because if it wasn't for that common denominator, we wouldn't even get along with one another. We couldn't do it because we would be acting as the world acts. Is that true? Anybody have thoughts?
So, and that would be our faith in Jesus.
That's right.
So that brings us fellowship. And I agree that, you know, we as people, we all have our flaws. So, you know, we can't, it's sometimes hard to look over each other's flaws, but when we have that fellowship, work in progress.
Right. Well, back when I was, just for example, I'm just going to use this for example. When I was a young man, I was a hippie. Okay? Hippies didn't hang out with rednecks. Right? So with now, it doesn't matter where you're from. Any rednecks in here? Hello? Don't we love one another? I'm just using that as but it's true. It's true. Rednecks didn't hang out with hippies either. Right? Amen? But in Christ Jesus, there's no difference between us. We're all the same in Christ Jesus. No one is any better than anyone else. We're all in the same field. You know, and if you look at what he calls us and you have revelation and understanding, what does he call us? What did he call you and I? He called us, you kind of look like one a little with your white hair. He called us sheep. Right? And if you're looking out into a field of sheep, can you tell the difference between them? You can't. Now, if you had got really close up, you might see some identifying marks or something like that. But in overall, they all look the same. And that's why he calls us sheep. He wants to remind you and I, we're sheep of his pasture. That we're all together. Amen. No matter where your background and no matter where you came from. Hallelujah. That we're in fellowship. We're in koinonia in the Greek. fellowship together, man. Amen? Oh, I better get on before I get myself in trouble. I almost opened up a door there.
Would you call that the witness, the spirit, the born-again spirit that's in all of us? That itself is the witness that you know them.
Right.
You know
them. Right. Amen. Woolly, woolly black sheep, you have any wool? Yes, sir, yes, sir. Ooh, my bag's full. I don't know. JL, go ahead. Give it. You want to you go, bah. Now, we are sheep, and he was the perfect lamb that was slain for you and I. Amen. So he called us to reunite. We're also to represent. Acts 4:33. It says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now, when you think of power, what comes to your mind? Victory? Authority? What else? When you think of power. Dusty. Dale? Strength. Okay. Wait a minute, you're scaring all the enemy away. Man, look at him run. Don't give yourself a hernia or anything over there. Discern. I have some things that we talked about here. Power to tread on serpents. Power to speak God's word. Power to discern. Power to rebuke. Power to witness. Power to heal. Power to preach. Power to strengthen. Power to assure. And power to overcome. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who will believe, according to the working of his mighty power. It's not our power. It's his power. What we are is we are conduits. And we're conduits in accordance to God's word. We're conduits that can do it. Corny, right? Do you expect anything less? Now, if you think of a conduit, what comes to your mind when you think of a conduit? Huh? Electricity? What is the conduit? The carrier of the power. It's not the power. The power comes from the source. The conduit is the carrier. And the recipient is what gets it. Amen. So as we're looking at that, we have dunamis power, he says. Amen. Amen. He said, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he shall quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwells in you. All right? It's quickening power. It's revelation power. Right? You know, I think if you have a reality is, the reality is recognizing who we serve, and it's him that fights the battle, not you. And if you have revelation and understanding that you're just a conduit, the conduit isn't the one with the power. If the power is disconnected from the source, the conduit will not do anything. And God wants you and I to stay connected to the source. He is the source. Amen? So when we're walking in authority and we're walking in power, it's just revelation and understanding of who he is, not who we are. Amen? It's his power, not our power. Is this boring? No, it's not. It's God's word. He's also not only to, to represent, we're a representative or a conduit. He's here to reside. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, he says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? He's not talking about marriage. He's talking about relationship. In other words, I don't do the same thing I used to do. I had a lot of friends, and I love my friends, and I still love my friends. And the Lord gave me instructions to invite them to come with me. And they didn't want to come with me. I still love them. They're still my friends. But we're not hanging together any longer, because God's taken me in a different direction. And he says that if we're double-minded, we're unstable. He said, no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. If I keep looking back, I end up off course. Amen. I shared with y'all before in our gardening when I asked my father-in-law want to put a garden in our house. We bought a house down in Elkton, and the father-in-law came down, and he was going to plow us out a garden. He plowed out a half an acre garden. And we felt like we had to do something with it just to honor him and the thing. And we planted this whole garden. And we had the best rows because everyone else in the neighborhood had all these straight lines. And we had all these big curves. Because we didn't know what we were doing. And we grew some of the greatest weeds in the neighborhood. We couldn't tell the difference between the vegetables and the weeds. Just cook it all. But we're to reside, you know, in Psalms 91:1, he says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He's called us to be separate, says the Lord. So we're residing. We have a different residence. We're residing in him. Sort of like Greg said a few minutes ago. He said, if we abide in him and his word abides in us, we should ask what we will and it shall be given to us of the Father. You know, and as we're abiding in him, he also wants us to reside. I don't know where I got the reside. I was just finding our words. Is anybody happy tonight? Okay. Y'all gonna cause me to have to get corny here. Huh? I see it. Look at that happiness now. Please, corn, stay away. Then we looked at to reign. To reign is to exercise sovereign power, the greatest authority. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world, according to 1 John 4:4. But the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, he said, what? Question mark. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong to him. In other words, we're, again, he is the power, we're the conduit. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. He said that the communication of your faith may become effectual or have effect by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You know, we're allowing the light of the Lord. We're vessels of his. We belong to him. We're allowing his light to shine in this world. Amen. The darker the world, the brighter the light. Have you ever noticed that, you know, if you come into a room and it's at dusk or whatever, at the evening, you turn a light on, there's really, it doesn't show any light because it's not dark. But when it gets dark, the light magnifies itself. And I believe that's what the Father wants us to do in these last days. He wants us to let that light so shine. Amen. And the darker the world gets, the brighter the light gets. Amen. And the more perverse the world goes, when you're doing things in order and you're doing things in a godly manner, it is noticeable. Amen. So we recognize that our body belongs to Him. So we don't abuse our body. So He reigns in us. What does it mean to reign? What do you think of when you say that something reigns? Have authority. So if I say he reigns, who's the one that's supposed to be in control? If it's no longer I that liveth, but it's Christ that liveth in me. Right. In other words, I'm allowing him to have control. Then we talked about to regain. Jeremiah 30:17 says, "For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, who no man seeketh after." And what the Lord was saying to me here is to regain is to, let's take back what the enemy has stolen. We sing that song, but do you really believe it? You know, are we truly going to the enemy's camp and are we taking back what belongs to us? Amen. How about taking our health? You know, our health. Our health is a mindset. Health and healing comes from your mind. Sometimes we magnify the sickness in our mind. That's why he says, "And the peace of God shall guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." We have to guard it. We have to protect it. In other words, just because I have a feeling or a symptom, first thing I do is I say what? I've got a... But if I'm healthy and I'm wealthy and I'm wise, I have to speak it back into my life. You know, it was kind of interesting this morning. When I was running, it was cold. The Lord gave me new instructions. And I was battling back and forth on the new instructions he was giving me because I didn't want to be lazy. You know, I run about 6 miles. And the Lord said, if it's under 32 degrees now, I want you to stop at 4. And then I said, well, why do I want to stop at 4? He says, because you're full of sweat after 4 miles, and them last 2 miles is what's going to cause it problems. The wet. So guess what I'm going to do? If it's under 32 degrees, I'm going to run 4 miles. I'm not going to do 5 miles. I'm not going to do 6 miles. Because I'm not going to let myself be open to whatever's going to happen in those 5 or 6 miles. In other words, we want to take back, and when we take something back, we want to take it back and we want to keep it. So many times we get healed and the adversary comes and just steals it right back to us, and he steals it back from our mind. And that's why he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Is it God's perfect will for me to be sick?
No.
What's God's perfect will for me? Life out of abundance, you know, according to his word. And God does not bring sickness on anyone. If somebody says to you, oh, God's just teaching me a lesson, that's God ain't teaching people a lesson by sickness. That's a devil. You know? In other words, even Job in the Bible, when God allowed the devil to come, the devil brought the sickness. God didn't bring the sickness. Amen? And God and Job was blessed abundantly. Yes, you can.
So I remember that song just came to me, and I thought, how can I do this? So I went back in the account, in my retirement account, and I invested the amount of money that I spent on the car, invested that, and found the company that owned Jaguar. And I invested in the company, and I made over $3,600 back in the stock market.
All right.
From the company in which I paid to
get right. All right.
That's kind of a, that's not as much of a spiritual more natural, but I used the song in that way, and I got back most of the money from the,
amen.
From the company that I was in.
Amen.
Just because of the song.
Yep. Good. Amen. Next one is to retain. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And if we're born again, we are overcomers. He says they overcame him, the adversary, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, what they were speaking. If life and death are in the power of the tongue, we should be speaking words of life. Because our organs are listening. Hello? And I'm not talking about the organ up there. I'm talking about our bodily organs. All right? Amen? You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions. Amen? The next one we talked about as advancing our faith was to refrain. I use Proverbs 1:15. It says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. We're to follow him and to stop following them. He said in Psalms 119:01, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. To keep his word, we're to keep his word and we're to abound in his work. 1 Peter 3:10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. We got to keep our mouth, our soul, our heart. When we refrain, we maintain what we have obtained. When we refrain, we maintain what we have obtained. Maintain what we have obtained. In other words, we don't let the enemy steal it. Then we looked at to remain. 1 John 2:24. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. You shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. We're to remain faithful in our walk, in our well-doing, in our witnessing, in our waiting on him. So as we looked at this tonight, our faith is increasing. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the last R is, are you ready? Are you ready to do everything that God's called you to do? Are you ready to answer the call of God on your life? Are you ready to surrender your will, not my will, Lord, but your will be done? That's where we're at. We're going to step into some amazing things. Amen. There's supernatural connections God's making, and he's doing some awesome things, and you'll witness it in the coming soon. In the next several weeks, you'll see a lot of things that are really moving and changing. And I love God. Amen. Do you love him? Let's just stand up and give him thanks tonight. Hallelujah. I'm right on schedule. Hallelujah. School night. Not really, because school's out. Let's lift our hands to heaven. Father, we're so grateful for your word, and we're grateful that you sent this word here tonight to minister to our hearts and lives, Father God. And Lord, we thank you, Father God, for each and every one that's in this room. I thank you for the call of God that's on each and every life that's gathered here, Father God. Your call on their lives is irrevocable. It doesn't change. Father God, you said it, and you asked us the question, are we ready? Father God, we're standing before you tonight. We're saying, not our will, Lord, but your will be done. We surrender our will to your will, Father God, and we say, Lord Jesus, have your way in our lives. Quicken us, Father God. Stir up the spirit that's within us, Father God. Move us in a supernatural way. May we do things and go places to heights that we have never reached or never been before, Father God. And Lord, we thank you for the windows of heaven that are opening up and the blessings that are being poured out. And we thank you for the favor of the Lord. We're thanking that your face is shining upon us, Father God, and your glory is rising in us and through us and on us, Father God. So we thank you and give you praise for all you've done, all you're doing, and all you're yet still to do. Bless the food and the fellowship, Father God, and we'll never cease to give you praise in Jesus' name.